Chapter 2. All right, tonight we want to start looking at the legacy of the supernatural. Okay? Hallelujah. There are about three titles floating in my mind. Sometimes to give a message, a title is the most difficult part of the whole thing. Not what to teach, but what to give the message. Amen. Okay? Our heritage of signs and wonders. That's really what I want to talk about. Our heritage of signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Say, I have a heritage of signs and wonders. When you say everything and legacy, they mean the same thing. Okay, legacy of supernatural, everything of signs and wonders, they mean the same thing. It's just semantics. Amen. Say, I have a heritage of signs and wonders. The power of God brought me forth. The power of God sustains me. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2. Okay. I read from verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that had him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Can you see that? Let me read verse 3 again. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that had him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs, wonders, and diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Hallelujah. Now he's talking about our common salvation, and he calls our attention to the fact that God bore witness to the message. So the message of salvation at first began to be spoken by the Lord. That means salvation in its full intent was expressed to us by Jesus. His ministry was about showing us salvation. Now he says, God bore witness to that message, but with signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Hallelujah. Now, there is no gospel without power. The heritage that we have inherited as believers in the gospel is a heritage of the supernatural. So it is normal, natural for a believer to expect the demonstrations of God's power. But there are one or two principles we're going to see as we look into God's word, because the word of God from Genesis all the way down to the epistles is not history. It's an account. It's like a believer's personal diary. So one of the mistakes you can make when it comes to experiencing God's power is to think you are reading history. It's not history. What we're reading is the experiences of God's power in the lives of men who believe like we do. Glory to God. Say, I believe God. I believe in the power of God. So what we have there are accounts, narratives. Some call it history, but it's like a diary, it's a journal, it's a record of the dealings of God, demonstration of his power, so that you and I can have what to expect and what to look forward to. A believer ought to expect the supernatural. A believer ought to live in the supernatural. A believer ought to expect miracles. But there's something about the consciousness of man that hardly responds until it is saturated with certain facts. That's one of the reasons why, as we go through the scriptures, we look at God's power in the area of healing, we look at God's power in the area of preservation, we see God's power in the area of supernatural supplies, you will see there's hardly anything that the power of God does not cover. There's hardly anything that the power of God doesn't cover. So miracles and expression of God's power, look, Nietzsche says, signs, wonders, and miracles, diverse miracles, diverse miracles. The word sign is the word that refers to an indicator of a divine presence. A sign is meant to call your attention to the fact that there is an invisible presence behind the individuals or persons that we see walking those things. That's what sign means. So a sign is meant to call your attention to that which is present but invisible. And that has always been God's way of attesting to his presence. If you don't need it now, you will need it later. Every one of us at one time or the other, we need miracles. Say, I need miracles. We need miracles in different areas, maybe in the area of healing, maybe in the area of finances, maybe in the area of supernatural favor. It may be in the area of suspension of natural laws, but we all need the workings of God's power in our lives. Hallelujah. Now, without a conscious awareness of that power, which is why we have a journal, the scriptures are given, not just so we read the stories, they're not just stories, that to remind us the same God yesterday, today, and what? Forever. So when you are reading through the accounts, you're not just supposed to just nod your head. You're supposed to have a shouting spell. This is my God at work. It's meant to bring to your attention a consciousness and awareness. The same power that did this is still working today. Hallelujah. That's what they meant to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And from verse 1. The word sign means an indicator or an indication of a divine presence. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. From verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency or speech of wisdom, declaring unto you what? The testimony. Why is it important to understand what Paul is saying? Paul said, the gospel I preached to you is a testimony of God. Now, you will realize the value of what Paul said when you read that there was no epistle at that time. So what Paul was preaching from were the Old Testament scriptures. And was bringing out salvation in Christ from the Old Testament scriptures. So Paul is saying all the experiences that people had one way or another was a pointer to God saving grace to men. That's what Paul was saying. He said, and when I came unto you, I didn't come with excellency of speech or wisdom. I wasn't counting on eloquence. I wasn't counting on natural knowledge. I was just counting on, as I recount the power of God to you through the gospel, you will have something to believe in. You will have something to expect. In other words, as I declare the testimony of God, let me put it this way. God's testimony is a setting forth of unseen realities. I look for many ways to say it. The testimony of God. Okay, can I ask you a question? What do you understand by testimony? Who knows what a testimony means? If you come to a court of law and they ask you, give your testimony, what does it mean? Give your side of the account, isn't it? Give your understanding of the account if you're in court, isn't it? That's what it says. Give your testimony. So when the Bible says a testimony, it's talking about somebody's personal record of how things really are, how they occur, how they happen. So Paul says, remember when I came unto you, he's writing to the church at Corinth. He was saying, the first time I ever came to Corinth to preach the gospel, that God most of you saved. What he was saying was this: when I came, I didn't come with excellency of speech or natural wisdom. Because when I came to declare to you what? The testimony of God. Of course, he was talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I says, this is the testimony of God. That Jesus lived and he worked miracles. That Jesus died. On the third day, he rose again. And he's ascended. He's seated at Father's right hand. Hallelujah. Paul was saying, this is the testimony of God. Now, if it's the testimony of God, or God is the one who inspired this testimony, it can't be preached with human wisdom. It has to be backed by what? The signs of the one who gave the testimony. Could they see God? No. Who could they see? Paul. So Paul was saying, when I came, I didn't rely on human wisdom. What I relied on is the power of God. Hallelujah. It's the power of God. So in other words, when you're listening to the testimony of God, what are you meant to be conscious of? Power. Say power. Not power. That's what you're meant to be conscious of. So he says, I came not with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Look at next verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you, save what? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul is telling us the secret of success of ministry. He said, when I came to preach, I didn't look, see, listen, the church at Corinth, not the church at Corinth, the people of Corinth were licentious. I wonder what for licentious that they did not have any control over their appetites. They were into paganism, idol worship. Okay. They were into sexual immorality at a high level. Okay. They were lesbians, homosexuals, everything you can imagine, plus the ones you can imagine. They went to everything. No, they went into everything. They went to it. So Paul says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus and him crucified. So he was saying, what I relied on is the testimony of God. That testimony is Jesus and him crucified. or in that crucifixion is the power of God to forgive all of you your sins. That's what Paul was saying. So when I came to you, I didn't look at your conduct or your actions. I simply focused on what God has done. Hallelujah. You know, that's one reason why when we go and preach the gospel, we don't preach to people their conduct. We preach to people God's conduct in Christ. That's what we preach to people. So he says, I determined to know nothing. To determine means that you have to make a choice. It means there are other things you can consider. So I'm just going to consider what God has done. I'm going to focus on what you have done. That's what Paul was saying. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus and him what? Crucified. And I was with him weakness and in fear and much trembling. That's verse 3. Verse 4 is where we're going. And my speech and my preaching was not with them. That's what some of my wisdom. But in what? Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom. But in what? See, my faith is in the power of God. But in the power of God. So as we go through the book of Acts, for instance, we go to the four gospels, we keep seeing testimonies of God's power, God showing himself strong on the behalf of men by intervening. Remember what a sign is? A sign is an indication of divine presence. A sign is meant to call your attention to unseen divine realities. So the Bible says that God bore witness to the testimony or the salvation message with signs, wonders, and miracles, diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost as he wills. Hallelujah. Look at Acts chapter 2. We're just introducing today because, you know, when we teach God's word and we show us who we are and what we have, we must not teach in such a way to take a believer's mind off the manifestations of God's power. In other words, you cannot know so much that you don't need a miracle, particularly if you live in Nigeria. Hallelujah. Yeah. Or you don't live in Nigeria. Okay. A man was accosted in an alley. A woman was accosted in an alley. And as she was accosted by a robber in an alley, Psalm 91 rose up and started declaring it. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. I see of the Lord. That's not the time to say, I will say. No, you better say. I hope you know. You it's now your reality now. I see of the Lord. He's my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. A thousand shall fall by my side. You skip the other ones. You move to the ones that matter to you. I'm just telling you now. It's not something that you are. That's when you are. We stand. You will have a shot. Which psalm we walk? Psalm 27. No. Psalm 23. No. 44. You are gone. 8,000 shall fall by my side. 10,000 by my right hand, but they shall not come near me. Only my eyes shall I see and reward. She was speaking, and a man was pointing a gun at her. And the man shot about 5 times. And all the bullets went in between her legs. Of course, if you are shooting somebody point blank, and the bullet is being diverted by something you cannot see, if you have enough sense, you will run. You will, if you have enough sense, you run. So, sorry for the break. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by what? Miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Notice that. God approved of him by miracles, signs, and wonders, which God did in the midst of you. So a sign is an indication of divine presence. It's meant to call your attention to the workings of God behind the scene. So we have records, testimonies throughout the four gospels for a particular reason. It is that the setting forth of those realities should call your attention to how the power of God works, what is possible, what you and I can expect. It doesn't just work in the area of healing, it works in different areas. Look at John's Gospel chapter 2, for instance. In John's Gospel chapter 2, we see the miracle of supernatural provision. John's Gospel chapter 2. So we can't read all the accounts, but we'll read some. Somebody says, can I trust God for my wedding? Oh, yes. Jesus went to a wedding. He didn't go there to preach. He was a guest. Say amen. He was a guest. He didn't go there to preach. He wasn't crusade. He was a guest. Alright? And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and disciples were called to the marriage, and when they wanted wine, and the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour has not yet come. And his mother said unto the servants, whatsoever I said unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the divine of Jesus, containing 2 or 3 fair kings apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But do have kept the good wine until now. Hallelujah. In other words, a miracle of suspension of natural laws. A miracle is a suspension of natural laws. I'm trying to give you a definition. In some cases, a violation of natural laws is a suspension. Sometimes a violation of natural laws, and sometimes it's an alteration of natural laws. Should I say that again? The 3 ways you can define a miracle: it's a suspension of natural laws, a violation of natural laws, and in some cases an alteration of natural laws. In this case, an alteration took place. Water turned to what? Wine. That's what the miracle is. They needed a miracle, and Jesus supplied the miracle. I want you to see what happened there. That's important. Jesus, a man of God, tested by God, approved of God by signs and wonders and miracles and mighty deeds. So here we see the miracle of natural provision. In John's Gospel chapter 6, look at John's Gospel chapter 6. We have in the 4 Gospels, we have a record of this in the 4 Gospels, where bread was multiplied. Hallelujah. Bread was multiplied. Say with me, the same God is still at work today. He still multiplies. He still blesses. He still performs miracles. I expect a miracle of provision daily. I'm going to read from verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, when shall you buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, saying, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, and every one of them may eat a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are these among so many? And Jesus said unto them, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. If you have 5,000 men, how many women will be there? I hope you know women attend crusades more than men do. It's just a law. Women attend crusades more than men do. So they gave us number of men, they didn't give us number of women. It is assumed that the women were at least close to double of the men. Then of course, we don't have the record of their children, and there was no family plan in those days. I'm just telling you what is implied, that you will not have been reading there. There was no family planning. So even if you want to be conservative, let's just say 3 children each. Okay, and the women will be more than the men. How many of you agree with that? There will be more women at Jesus' crusade than the men. So if there are 5,000, rough estimation, let's say there are about 15,000 people there. Rough estimation. Okay, so and there were 2 fishes and 5 barley loaves. And look at what Jesus said. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number of 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to disciples, and the disciples then that were set down, and likewise for the fishes, as much as they would. Notice that, as much as they would. So would determine how much they received, the disciples or the people that were giving the food. Let me ask again. So I want to be sure you hear. Who determine how much they receive? The disciples or the people that were receiving? The people that were receiving. So it was as much as they had need. That means they gave everyone the amount that they requested for. So it wasn't sparsely sharing. It wasn't, they didn't just share, sparsely, or they shared fully with everyone based on their need. Look at what it says again. Verse 12, and when they were filled, He said unto disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled how many baskets? 12. So that you can see the miracle was not a small one. The food multiplied when the disciples went to distribute. Jesus broke and gave thanks. The miracles took place in the hands of the disciples. So we have miracles of supernatural provisions. We've not even gone into the Old Testament. This is just the Gospels. And for you to see how important this miracle was, all the four Gospels testify of it. You'll find the same miracle in Matthew chapter 14. In the book of Mark also, chapter 6, we have the same miracle testified. That tells you that this particular miracle is important, that God provides, God supplies. Now, it is wisdom when you're expecting a miracle that you keep your mind conscious of God's power at all times. Why are the records written? Not for historical purposes, but so that you can be aware that God is still in the business of what? Providing. That's why it's written. So that you can be aware that God is still in the business of providing. Look at Luke chapter 5. Can God's power affect a man's business? Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I read from verse 1. Luke chapter 5 from verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were men washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. That's for a catch. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night, we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You know, if you read the story closely, you will notice something interesting. When Peter said what he said, at your word we will let down, it wasn't a statement full of faith. It wasn't. You will see what I'm saying very soon. It wasn't a statement full of faith. Yet, despite that, a miracle still happened. It wasn't a statement that was full of faith, because he said, let down your nets, not net. Jesus said, let down your net. So the one who wants to work miracle tells you what to expect. The one who is meant to receive wasn't expecting to receive as much. I hope you're following. So look at what he again said. Launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and I've taken none. Nevertheless, I will let down the net. So see what happens next. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net what? Broke. So was Peter expecting that much? No. Had he toiled all night? Yes. So at that point in time, the only thing that will have saved his career or his work was a miracle. Did the miracle come? Yes. Was he prepared for it? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. As we go on, one of the things we say about miracles is this. A miracle doesn't require too much praying sometimes. A miracle comes merely because you and I need them to happen. Let me say that again. There are people who receive miracles, they didn't have fantastic faith. But there are people who receive miracles, they didn't even know who gave them the miracle. You know what that means? They didn't know who gave them a miracle. I'll show you. They didn't know who gave them a miracle. So a miracle, it may not be something you experience every day, but it's something that you get as you have need of it. It's a suspension of natural laws. Many times an alteration of the same natural laws. And sometimes also it's what? It's what? I give you three things. A suspension, an alteration, and a what? A violation. It will call your attention. There's a supernatural power at work. I read the story of the founder of Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. I think I've shared it before. The name of the book is very interesting. A God. That's the name of the book. I read it. She was the mother of Demos Shakarian. That's the founder of Full Gospel Business and Fellowship International. So this young man grew up in an atmosphere of miracles. Said they had a mother who prayed. Said, but she prayed in the funniest way they've ever known. Said, what do you mean? Said that she would sit down in her kitchen on a stool. She would bring another stool and say, God, you two sit here. Have you seen people like that before? You know, in this our traditional environment, I hope you know that mothers are praying like that. Those CAC women, they don't know Bible, but they know God. You've not heard about them before. Listen, a woman prayed the son. They had nothing. No father. Prayed the son from primary school through secondary school by supernatural provision. And when the boy did well academically and was going to university, there was no money. The only money that he had was enough to get to the school to go and do his registration. He did not have money for tuition. He didn't have money for food. He didn't have money for registration. And the only reason why he left home was because the mother gave him the transfer money to get him to school and said, I will be praying for you. How many of you will go? Now, if you have not been experiencing the power of God through that woman's prayer, you won't go. But that young man had been experiencing God's power over the years. So he said when he got there, he was on cue. He was thinking, what will I tell them when I get there? He kept remembering, my mother said, I'll pray for you. I'll be praying for you. Just go. God will come through for us, as has always come through. That's putting your trust in God's power. Now, remember, this woman had been using the same power from the beginning. So she was used to expecting miracles. You know, sometimes not because miracles are scarce, because we're not even expecting them. Jesus told the rich young ruler, he said, how hard it is for those who are rich to enter the kingdom of God. And what he was saying was that some people have learned to depend so much on their resources that they naturally don't trust in God's power again. You see, some people, they are not trusting God's power until there's a crisis. It becomes difficult. It becomes difficult. He told the young man that he had a particular disease and told him, even the president of so-and-so country died from this disease. I said, young man, the message that they communicated to him was that if the president of that country, who has all the money, medicine couldn't heal him. That means this thing is not about money. It's about trusting God. And the young man was healed. Listen, no matter how much resources you have, there are some situations only the power of God can bring you out of. So there has to be a continuous consciousness that reading those records of what God has done should do to your mind. It should erase a feeling of impossibility from your consciousness. That the way you are looking at it is that you are seeing that all things are truly possible to him that believe it. When I go to the Gospels, and I'm still going to go to the Epistles, what I keep seeing is that this is a God at work, leaving his footprints in the lives of men, showing them where they had admitted natural limitations, that the power of God is beyond natural limitations. Think about it. That's what happened. So this young man on that queue, say when it was about one person before he comes forward, somebody just stabbed him on the shoulder and mentioned his name. So I used to say, yes. Say, step out of the line. You know, you start thinking that maybe you're about to be arrested or something. You better step out from the line. Say, the person handed him the full tuition, registration, money for school, money for feeding, everything, and they went back into the line. A miracle of God's provision. What did the boy take to school? It wasn't money. It was the power of God. Hallelujah. It was the power of God that the boy took to school. I remember the testimony of John G. Lake. Sold all his possessions because God sent him to South Africa. Told his wife, we're going to trust in God's provision entirely. We're not going to go with anything. So all they had with them was enough money to buy the ship that would take them to South Africa. They didn't know anybody there. They didn't know anyone. But they prayed and they had the leading of God to go. So when they got there, as you are stepping down, they're going to be asking you, where are you going? Did you come to see? Here's the problem. You don't know anybody. You've never been there before. What will you tell the quartermaster? Where you are going? So while he was still thinking and praying, saying, God, what are we going to do when they ask us? As he was still running down, a woman came up and asked him, are you John G. Lake? They had never met before. He said, yes. He said, God told me your name in prayer and told me to prepare a house for you, for him and his whole family, a whole house. Paid whatever they needed to her. Brothers and sisters, we need to trust in the power of God more. Hallelujah. In provision, God has proved himself over and over and over and over and over again. More times than we can count. And I can keep sharing testimonies with you over and over and over. One of the greatest miraculous testimonies of provision was the life of a particular man called, I'm trying to remember his name now. He used to run an orphanage. He used to run an orphanage. One of the greatest demonstrations of faith among ministers of God that has never recorded. He used to run an orphanage that grew from one or two boys to hundreds to thousands of boys. But one of the greatest testimonies and stories they've ever was ever recorded about that particular orphanage was the fact that there was a particular day, the cellar, the store, everything was empty. There was no food. And there are hundreds of boys to feed. So when they came up in the morning to sit down, you know, they were thinking, since there's no food, what should we do? Then the man of God came and said that everybody sit down, put the plate, put the cup, put everything, put the fork, put the spoon, put everything there. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. And let's give God thanks for this food. You know, start thinking, something's wrong with this one. For which food? The empty plate. He said, let's give God thanks for this food. So when they gave God thanks and he said, amen, they heard a shout at the gate. A meat truck and a bread truck collided in front of the orphanage. And the two of them decided that there was no point taking those things to where they were because they wanted, and they brought everything inside the orphanage and gave it to the children. And they asked him, how did you know that will happen? He said, I didn't know that will happen. He said, what do you know? I know God never fails. And he always comes on time. I mean, you don't understand, they put Plato with cup before children that are hungry. And there's nothing there. And they said, let's have a word of prayer. And they thank the Father. Hallelujah. Now, it is not your business to determine how it will happen. Just believe it will happen. That's your part. That's your own role. You keep your mind constantly full of the testimonies of God's miracle working power. The time comes that consciousness is so strong that even if you hear a doctor's report that will cause the average man to collapse, you'll be laughing. You know it is nothing where the power of God is concerned. A man that became an evangelist in the 70s, he was involved in the Civil War. He was shot. And they shot him in the stomach. Back in those days, there was nothing much they could do. So what they were doing was that they were just cleaning because he had internal injuries. Intestinal damage had taken place. So he was in the hospital. So they were treating him, you know, giving him antibiotics. You know, the medical practice of those days and today, you can't compare them. But he wasn't getting any better. As a matter of fact, they said that his intestines were rotting. So death was just a matter of time. So a particular doctor used to come in every day to come and clean him up, give him injections and go back. So on a particular day, he saw another doctor coming. But this doctor didn't look like, in his own words, he didn't look like Dr. Muyiwa, who used to come. It was a different looking doctor. So he said there was like, when did they change doctors? Well, let them do their job. And the man came in and he said he noticed that they brought two basins, which he not carried behind him. And they came to him. So this doctor, instead of, you know, just cleaning normally, when he opened up his stomach, first thing he knew is that he didn't have any pain. So he was still quiet. The second thing was, I said that this doctor removed everything that was inside his stomach. He was still thinking that, how come I can still see, I can talk, can shout. He put it in one basin. Opened the other basin, brought fresh organs, put it inside, and connected the parts, and covered it back, and was going. So that's when he realized his voice. Wait, come on. Who are you? Said, I'm Dr. Jesus, and disappeared. Why do we have testimonies of God's power like this? So we can know it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a God of miracles. He does miracles. And in a year of supernatural possibilities, I want you to believe for nothing but miracles. Astonishing demonstrations of God's power. Astonishing demonstrations of God's power. In 2 Chronicles chapter 14, A man called Asa. I didn't want to go into Old Testament today, but a man called Asa, who was serving God as much as he knew, was confronted by an enemy army. They were 1.3 million strong. There was no way their natural mind could conquer that army. That man said something that he has never left me. In his little prayer that he prayed to God, he said, "It is nothing with you to help with many or small. Don't let any man prevail against you." That's all he prayed. "It is nothing, it's nothing to help," which is that whether there are many or they are small, it doesn't make any difference. God will help you. That's what the man prayed. And all the army were defeated that came against them. That's because a man knew something. He said that it is nothing. Because this man that was healed became an evangelist. Because new parts were connected. Surgery without surgical scalpel. Special laser surgery. By the only heavenly doctor that we know, Dr. Jesus. Put all the parts together without any pain. Everything complete. Done. New body parts, new organs. He's gone to be with Lord now. Dr. Noble is, well, the person I was giving the testimony was the pastor whose church he went to minister in, which is Pastor W. Egan, who is the pastor of Rema Bible Training Center all by now. He said he invited him. He said that he knew that this man has an unusual ministry, but he didn't know it was that unusual. So he invited him to minister. So he said when he came to minister, he said, "You have to be careful not to get offended when some people are not operating the way you think they will operate." He said, he told them the choir to be singing a song. Even Brother Martins will be angry. He said they should be singing a song. That's not the problem. He said they should be singing a song for 1 hour. Same song. If it's you, you want to be angry. He said he was thinking that, "What is this?" He was saying, "What is the meaning of this? 1 hour." And after 1 hour, you feel like thinking, like, "So man of God, are you ready to..." Said he should continue. You know, he was worship before. He's now turning to annoyance. And he just said he should continue. Yeah, and he had finished teaching. So he should continue. After about 1.5 hours, Mr. Anna got up. He stopped and said that those who have testimonies should come out. Oh my God. He started praying a second time. This time I'm repenting before God for doubting God's power. So the first person that came out had defective teeth and missing teeth. Everyone failed. You don't know why. You get what I said? All the teeth failed. Lungs replaced. Kidneys giving back. And when I said for a woman, she had a major issue that was terminal, cancer. She was healed. Her female organs had been removed in the treatment of the cancer so that there was no way she could conceive, even though she had already finished having her children. When they went to inspect her, the cancer was gone. The organ had been replaced. But the doctor had to tell her that if you don't want to have any more children, please be using something, because the organ you say is not there is now back there. It's back inside. Hallelujah. God's mighty power. So the records are given to us to remove the limitation is only in the mind. That's all. God's mighty power. God's mighty power. I remember the story of the young man. I've narrated that story before. When I heard it, parents took him in a wheelchair to a crusade. He had heard about miracles and signs and wonders about God's power as they went to the crusade. First day, second day, third day, nothing happened to the young man. He was in the crusade. People were healed, but he wasn't healed. But he made up his mind, "This crusade, I'll be healed." So when the man said that, "Let's go to crusade," he said, "I'm not going." He said, "How will you come home? You're in a wheelchair." He said, "You can go. Me and God will sort it out." You know, the prayer he prayed was a prayer that if you are into, you know, knowledge, new creation, you say, "Well, that's not new creation reality. We're talking about miracle." That's not scriptural. That's not, forget, faith is rude, but faith gets results. When they left him there at the crusade ground, the young man said to him, said, Lord Jesus, in case you went to another crusade, when you are coming back on the way to heaven, meet me here. I'm waiting here. And the man, young man stayed there. He didn't go. And the crusade ground was empty. So sometime, just before the night time, he saw a vision, and Jesus appeared to him. Since you have not gone, it's time for you to walk. Stand to your feet. And the young man started walking. I can keep on telling you stories and stories of God's power. See, all things are possible to him that believeth. It's not much faith you need. It's a consciousness. It's you reciting the power of God to yourself. Let me tell you something about God's power. Why we read to be conscious. There seems to be something about us that though you received a miracle 2 months ago, if another challenge comes up today, you start doubting. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've seen supernatural provisions before in a way that you cannot explain. But if another challenge comes up, you start thinking. It's as though you're saying, can God still do this one? But the same power that worked before will work again. It will work again. Because he doesn't get tired. He doesn't get weary. There is no searching of his understanding. So we are the ones that need to up our game in filling our minds with the consciousness. We are the ones who need to work on ourselves. So when I'm reading through the epistles and I'm reading testimonies, Matthew chapter 12, the man with the withered hand. Maybe you don't know what it means for a withered hand to be made whole. That's not healing. That's a creative miracle. The word with them is that you see one hand is shriveled. The cells, the tissues, the muscles are atrophied. And Jesus now says, stretch forth your hand. It means in that statement, stretch forth your hand, new cells and tissues and nerves and muscles were formed, plus new flesh. When it says, stretch forth your hand, that's what it means. That's what happened. That's a creative miracle. That's what. And the man was not a believer. Was not a Christian. He didn't know Bible. Was not. Just received a miracle. Because man needed it. What was Jesus trying to say? God is in the business of miracles as long as man needs it. He's in the business of miracles. Why do you think we have the record of the woman with the issue of blood? 12 years. Hopeless case. Oh, 12 years. Was nothing better, but rather grew worse when she had heard of Jesus. Mark chapter 5. Came in the press behind, for she kept saying, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Why do you think we have the testimony? Which was recorded for our benefit, so that when you're facing a situation or challenge and you're thinking it cannot be done, the testimony of God will tell you it can be done. Not only can be done, it has been done. It will be done. It can be done. It has been done. It will be done. That's what it's telling you. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 113. I want to show you something. Because you read those things to remind yourself, this is what God is saying. From verse 1. Psalm 113 from verse 1. Let's read together. This is how we... I want the King James, please. Psalm 113 from verse 1. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise all ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Next verse. Read. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. The Lord's name is to be preached. The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwells on high? Yeah. Who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He raises up the poor out of the dust and leaves the needy out of the dunghill. That he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He makes the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. When you read it, he's telling you this is what God does. Hallelujah. Notice, praise the Lord is to call your attention. This is what God does. These are part of the works of God that he does. This is how he manifests his power. If you go to the next Psalm 114 from verse 1. Look at Psalm 114. Don't just read those things over. Just read the language that was used. When Israel went out of Egypt, they asked of Jacob from a people of a strange language. Yep. Judah was a sanctuary. And Israel is what? Dominion. Pay attention. When it says Judah and Israel, figure of speech. Judah means praise. So, a sanctuary. It came out by praise. His dominion was a covenant that God had with Abraham. That's what Israel means. Hallelujah. Who is Israel in the Bible? Who is Israel in the Bible? Who was named Israel in the Bible? Sorry? Okay, so I've asked you get now. It was one? Jacob. So was he born Israel, or his name was changed to Israel? So can you say the Israel was his covenant name? Because as Jacob, he was one man. As Israel, he was a nation. How many agree that? Yeah. So out of Israel came out many tribes. 12 tribes. Okay? So it was because Jacob became 12 tribes that it was now called Israel. So Israel is a prophetic name. Do you get it now? So Israel simply points to covenant. So when it came out, he said Judah was a sanctuary. Israel is dominion. Did he saw? What did he see? He saw God and fled. Jordan was dreaming back. The mountains keep like rams and little hills like lambs. Look at the next verse. See what it says. What aid thee, O thou sea that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan that I was dreaming back. You mountains that you keep like rams. You little hills like lambs. Tremble thou heart at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Hallelujah. And you see that? So even the language is to depict one thing. How mighty the power of God is. That's what he's trying to say. How mighty the power of God is. And it's talking about people who are not even saved. How mighty the power of God is. That's what it's trying to communicate to us. Glory to God. Say, all things are possible unto me because I believe. I believe the power of God can do all things for me. It can provide for me. It can heal. It can alter situation. It can suspend laws. It can change everything together for my good. If we go through step by step, you see divine interventions. There were signs and wonders by the manifestation of God's power. In Daniel chapter 3, the king asked the three Hebrew boys a simple question. Say, is it true that you have decided not to bow to the image? Now, I'll give you one more chance. When you hear the sound of the dulcimer, the psaltery, the psalm, the harp, he listed them. That if you do not bow to this image, you shall be thrown the same hour into the fiery, funny forest. Then Daniel answered, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter, O king. You know what that one means? We're not careful to answer thee. Daniel chapter 3. We're not careful. We're not watching our words while we're answering. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. And will deliver us, O king. But if not, we will not bow down to your gods. And people have misunderstood that to mean that if our God does not deliver us, that doesn't make sense. That's not what he's saying. So if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will what? He will what? Is that a statement of certainty or not? So see what it says now. Okay, but if not, be known unto thee, O king, we will not serve your gods, nor worship the image. How can you interpret that as meaning if he doesn't deliver us, we will not worship? No, you will not be there to worship, you are burnt. I hope you understand what I just said now. Should I say it again? But if not, doesn't mean if he doesn't deliver us. If not means that if you don't insist that we are thrown into very funny furnace, we will still not bow. Should I say that again? Let me explain again. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us and will deliver us. But if not, doesn't mean, but if he doesn't, that's going against what you have said. What did you just say? He is able and he will. So were they sure that God would deliver them? Yes. So it wasn't guesswork. You don't see funnies and do guesswork. It was a statement of, they knew what they were doing. That means there was supernatural faith involved. They knew what they were saying. You cannot say, but if he doesn't deliver us, we will not bow. You will not be there to bow. You are burnt. Do you get what I'm saying? So that's not what he was saying. Sir. But if not, if you don't insist, we'll see no bow. That's what they were saying. And when they chew them in, But let's read that part as we round up this one. See the king's response. It was full of fury, and the form of visit was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spoke and commanded that they should eat the furnace one 7 times more than it was going to be eaten. Next verse. And commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Next verse. Then these men were bound in their coats, their oxen and their hearts, and their flammable material. Material that would make the burning faster. That's why they're giving the description. So I can tell that as a little part of it catches fire, the whole body will catch fire. They were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Next verse. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace extremely hot, the flame of fire slew those men that took up. They were not men who went, those who just took them there died. Look at next verse. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in his and spake unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? The answer that said unto the king. When you're asking the question that even the people that are there, they cannot answer. They shall be answering, we are all here. We saw it. Abi, counselor, yes, that's what happened. As it was three people that we put there. Look at the next verse. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walk in the midst of the fire. And they have no heart. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Hallelujah. They were delivered by the ministry of angels. He maketh his angel spirits and his ministers flames of fire. So the angels just went there and made sure everything felt like air conditioning. And just went and just said, what is that? A miracle? A suspension of natural laws. Fire is designed to burn. It didn't burn. Guess what? The fire did not become cool because it slew the mighty men. But the fire was cool upon the three Hebrew boys. Can you see the difference? The fire was not naturally cool. It still slew those men. But nothing happened to those young men because of the God that they believed in. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us. Look at the next thing. Look at the next verse that follows. Next verse 26. He came near to the mouth of the burning and spake and said, look at the way he addresses them now. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of fire. Look at next. This part I like most. Look at next verse. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the kings, being gathered together, they saw this man upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Nor was an ear of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed on them. That is a tremendous testimony. In case you think it was happenstance, they could even smell smoke on them. So the fire that didn't burn their body, listen carefully, could not even burn their clothes. What kind of power is that? I don't even, you understand? You know, if you are in an accident today, all your goods are spoiled, destroyed, but you came out naked, we are thanking God for you. Father, thank you for your mighty delivering power. We can build another kitchen, build another house, but alas, I'm saved. You know, their dignity in dressing was intact by the power of God. See, there was no smell of fire upon their clothes by the power of God. See, I believe in God's power for preservation. My life is preserved. No matter where I go, no matter where I am, God's power preserves me at all times. I believe in God's power for miracles of healing. My body responds to the power of God. I believe in God's power for supernatural provision. My life responds supernatural provision. I believe every day for supernatural provisions. I lack no good thing. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands and thank him. I believe in the power of God. We believe in the power of God. We believe in the power of God. When all of them that turn back, we have a legacy of the supernatural, a heritage of signs and wonders. We have a God who takes care of our physical bodies, the one that created all the organs in our body. He knows how to adjust them, how to arrange them, how to ensure that we walk in health and we abide therein. I believe in him for miracles. I trust in him for signs and wonders. I trust him for mighty provisions. I trust him for miraculous answers to prayer. I trust him for mighty manifestation of power when it comes to help. There is no area of life that I do not trust him for his mighty power. His mighty power is at work in me. I cannot be stranded. My Lord God is the sun and the shield. He has given me grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from me. I know I have help. I know I have sustenance. I know I have support. I'm not counting on my own strength. I rely on him. I rest on him. His ability is more than enough for me to see me through. My faith is not in the wisdom of men. It is in the power of God. My faith is in the power of God. So I expect miracles. God's mighty ability. Seeing me through. Causing me to prevail. Putting me over in all situations. I believe in miracles. God's mighty ability. Putting me over, causing me to prevail in all situations. I did not rely on men's help. I rely on the strength of Jehovah, of the mighty rock of Israel, the one that always assists, that never fails. I trust in him. I rely on him. He puts me over. He helps me. He assists me in all areas of life. Thank you, Father. Glory to his name forever. We give you praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to his name forever. We have a heritage of signs and wonders. We have a legacy of the power of God at work in our lives. We are never stranded. We are never cut off. We have access to divine power at all times. This is a season of miracles for us. We expect supernatural possibilities. I expect to hear good news. I expect the favor of God to turn things around for my good. I expect that favor to produce supernatural signs and wonders in my life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.